filled again, huh? Isn't that great? And I tell you what, you count up the people that we saw this morning and the people that are here tonight, the average church doesn't see that those people come back on Sunday night. It just doesn't happen. Your average church, boy, the Sunday morning, the church would be open. Boy, it seems like everybody's coming on Sunday night, and you got a few of the faithful that are there. But thank you. Thank you guys for being faithful, not to me, not to your pastor, even though he deserves it, the hard work, everything that he puts into it, that nobody, by the way, that nobody sees. Well, I hope you are grateful for the man of God you got. Because let me tell you, they are hard to come by. Well, my pastor made a statement when I was in college, and I didn't understand it, and unfortunately, now I understand it more. He said if half the pastors in America would retire and give up their pulpit, we'd be a better place. And I was like, whew, man, we need God. We need more men of God. We need more men of God who are faithful. It's not about them. It's about the Lord. You guys have one, so take advantage of that time. Speaking of taking advantage, well, I'm going to take advantage of the Lord speaking to me. When I came in here, I had three different sermons. I didn't know which direction I was going to go. I was like, Lord, I am more, you know, disturbed than a roach in a yo-yo. Like, Lord, I need some help. I need some direction. And boy, a pastor came, and as soon as he gave the illustration of what's going on in Afghanistan and how God is taking something that could be terrible, crazy, and making something good come out of it. First of all, that's only God. Second of all, turn into your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 81. Psalms chapter 81. Oftentimes I try to be that person. If you give me a hint, take it. Take the hint. Go with it. My dad was one of those people. He would give you a hint, you better run with it. Because if not, it's going to come a little bit more blunt with a little bit more punishment. So you better take the hint while the grace is being given there. We say that this book can help us. This book can only help us if we seek for help. This book can only help us if we're faithful in times when we don't need help, but we have studied to show thyself approved, not to us, not to you, not even to your spouse, but to God. And then God gives you a nugget, and you don't know why he gives it, but you kind of hang on to it. And then one day, whenever you need it, God brings it back to memory. Boy, these are those times. In Psalms chapter 81, we see that God benefits, or it is said that this verse could be summed up, or this chapter could be summed up, God's benefits to a rebellious people. Boy, if we were to examine ourselves, we would say, boy, we're filthy rags. Boy, we're nothing. Boy, oftentimes I talk to people and they're like, brother, if I had this like you have, I'm like, whoa, what in the world are you talking about? I'm a sinner just like you. I deal with the flesh just like you guys. I have thorns on the side just like you guys would have. I have things that would be considered a weakness. You being a man of God, yes, absolutely. But in Psalms chapter 81 here, we begin reading and we find out that it's just not us who experiences these things. We begin reading in verse 10. It says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people, who? God's people. This isn't the world. This isn't the Pharisees. This isn't all the people that we would think, oh, well, of course. They wouldn't trust them. Of course, they wouldn't put their faith in them. But God said, these are my people. By the way, man didn't say that. God said that. It's my people. And we continue reading. It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Well, we could stop there. we could say with our Congress, with our government, God is turning them on to their own lust, their own counsel. They know better than God, and he's turning them away from him. One could make that argument. But let's continue to read. It said, so I gave them up to their own lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Boy, they did whatever they wanted to do. But in verse 13, it says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. What would have happened if they would have walked, if they would have trusted God? Whatsoever is not done by faith is sin. So all of a sudden, God said, I soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hands against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord have submitted themselves unto him, but their times should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Lord God said, I would have took care of your enemies. I had a plan to take care of your problems. I had a plan to even make your problems into something good. But you didn't hang in there. You didn't trust me. You decided to take it upon yourself. How could I figure this out? How can I do things to better the situation? How can I play God in my own life? And now all of a sudden, you're to the point where if you're not careful, this one thing that we're going to talk about tonight is going to creep in. Before I tell you about this one thing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we need you in such a time as this. Lord God, whether it's the good, the bad, or even the ugly, Lord God, we thank you for being a God. And Lord God, we also ask that you just please just help us. Lord God, please meet with us tonight. Please give us something that we all can apply, take with us, and Lord God, use. We give you the honor and praise. In your blessed son's name we pray. Amen. Boy, when I travel and I speak to people, even when I speak to pastors, discouragement is on the front of a lot of people's minds. Seems like the devil, even though he can't be at every place at one time, boy, he sure has tricked people to think that he's personally attacking them. Some of you are dealing with trials. You're dealing with situations, like I said this morning, that no one knows about. Some of you have been done unjustly. Some of you, it's almost to the point where you believe it could be argued that it was evil. Some of us can look at those situations and we can play God in those situations and we can end up somewhere that we never ever thought that we would be. The statistic says in a crowd that's this size, multiple people are dealing with bitterness. Multiple people are fighting this particular discouragement. It's now come from a thought. Now it's boiled into something that we never ever thought. Boy, if you ask somebody if you would ever be bitter, no, why would I be bitter? Man, I have so much to be bitter over, but we all know that it only takes that one situation, that one, sir, where that one little seed is planted, then all of a sudden we find ourselves, boy, somewhere are looking like something that we never ever thought that we would ever look because of this thing called bitterness. But the Lord God said, if we only trust him, if we only would have known that the rock that he said in verse 16, the rock that he talks about there, if we'd only known that it had honey inside of it, we would have kept going. But then it wouldn't have been a faith if God would have told us. God said that I have the best for you. Well, I can't tell you sometimes in my life, boy, especially looking back, when I had these surgeries and have different things. And boy, I remember one time even the doctor sat me down and he said, here you go, Mr. Jackson. He said, you have a heart condition. It's called WPW. He said, from this point on, you are not to run. You're not to jump. He's like, you're not to watch a scary movie. He's like, I hear you're a Christian. He's like, you can't be under any preaching that's going to cause your blood pressure to spike. Because if your blood pressure spikes, that means your heart is going to ramp up. If your heart ramps up, you can go into a rhythmic condition that could kill you. Tell me I'm getting your attention. I wasn't older. I was younger. I was a teenager. I was missing out on football. That's a major sin in my book. Missing out on sports? Boy, I never once at that time questioned God. But I sure am thankful that I just kept going. Because now as I travel, I meet people with heart conditions, and I'm like, hey, I don't know exactly what you're feeling, but I know a little bit about what you're going through. I'm telling you, you can make it. And boy, it's even opened my mind to heart condition. I'm like, what heart condition do you have? Oh, okay. All right, man, that's pretty crazy. And we can talk that way. And I'm able to help people in a way that I never, ever would have been able to help them. But I just had to keep walking. Keep going by faith. Oh, you say, Brother Jackson, you're making pretty big of yourself. No, 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 it's not me. It's not me. It's the Lord. There's two ways one can look at life. One can look at these decisions. One can look at these hardships that come upon us. We can look at them and we can allow it to make us bitter, or we can allow it to make us sweet. You can allow it to make you to be like that rock, to be hard, to be tasteful, untasteful, to where nobody wants to be around you. Well, we all have known those people in life. Boy, one thing, you see them in the hallway and you forget about who they are, and you're like, hey, brother, how's it going? Well, if you really want to know, I'll just tell you what, man, it's just absolutely crazy. You're just like, oh. You're like, I'm so sorry. You're like, why didn't I remember that? Talking to this individual, honey, don't ever ask them how they're doing, like ever again. Or whatever. It's the wrong last thing to do. Some of you, you say, well, Brother Jackson, I don't think you understand my situation. You're like, I'm literally in between a rock and a hard place. But according to the Bible, there's honey on both sides. Hey, I'm here to tell you that Yogi the Bear had it right this whole time. He's been chasing honey since day one. I'm telling you, that's a smart bear. He knew exactly what was happening according to the Bible. You say, you come to a point in your life where you come at this situation and you say, brother, I try to look for the honey, but sometimes that rock is so big, I can't see the honey on the inside. I'm reminded about a friend that I had. He wasn't backslidden. He was as right as God as anybody else in here. Graduated Bible college. Had a few youngins. That's kids. I'm not sure if some of you know that. Southern hospitality, as we call it. Had a few youngins, two or three, serving God. Put them in charge of junior church. Things are going well. Boy, oftentimes we go home and work out, or talk about working out, you know, talking about being fit, you know, doing all these different things. And boy, he was like, hey, man, pray for me. My stomach keeps getting big. And, you know, we just kind of joked around and laughed about it. But he was actually serious about it. And boy, I remember one day getting a phone call, and he said, hey, remember when we were talking about my stomach? He's like, pray for me. He's like, man, I've been going from doctor's office to doctor's office to doctor's office. He's like, no one can figure out what is going on with me. I mean, he literally looks like he's like 4 months pregnant. I mean, he's just expecting. For those of you who don't understand, it's not natural. So here this young man is now to the point where his doctor's like, look, I don't know anything else. Go to the Mayo Clinic. See if they can help. Boy, they went to the Mayo Clinic and they started doing biopsy after biopsy after biopsy on him. And he said, finally, it's to the point where he can barely walk. He can barely do anything. His stomach is just absolutely huge. Nobody has an answer for him. The doctor comes back in and he said, hey, he's like, today we're going to do one more biopsy. He's like, you have to excuse me. He's like, I'm a little fed up here with the biopsy. He's like, how come I'm not getting any results back? How come no one's telling me anything? He said, the doctor sat down on his bed and he's like, son, I don't know how to tell you this, so we're just going to be very frank. He said, you may have a day, if not two, left to live. He said, we know that it's a tumor. He's like, so we send it off. We take a sample. We send it off to the lab. The lab gets it. They then look at it, and then they hit it with chemo, and they hit it with all these different things. And then with the doses that they hit them with tells them how to treat it once they kill it, how to treat it in your body. And he said, they can't kill it. Boy, you can only imagine. Boy, he called me. I heard. I happened to be close by there. Came by his hospital bed. Literally, you could almost feel death in the room. I mean, you walked in, you know it was just different. Normally, you walk in, man, it was life and, you know, we tried to make light of the whole situation, you know, boys being boys. You know, even though it was a rough situation, you just tried to think, you know, as best you could. I was like, man, you know, maybe this is the whole time is your wife getting you back for, you know, her being, you know, pregnant for three times. I was like, what is that, 27 months? I was like, maybe she put something in your drink or whatever so you can just feel a little bit. Boy, we just go back and forth. Boy, and I went in there this time. Well, I remember seeing the family then, they're like tired and exhausted. And I said, hey, go home, just wash up, come back. I'll stay here. I'll be with him. Boy, they went there, and boy, I am spending the night there. And the family, of course, you know, they were calling back and forth. And boy, I remember being there with them. There was only one light on in the room, and it was kind of shining on them. And I said, Daniel, how are you doing, bud? I was like, not the political correct answer. How are you really doing? He's like, well, he's like, I promised God this. I promise God of taking my life furthers the gospel. I'm willing to do that. And I was like, phew. I was like, brother, that's pretty big. He was like, but I told God this. If he heals me, because no other man can heal me, I promise him that every person I come in contact with will hear about how big my God really is. He could have gotten bitter. Lord God, I'm serving you. Lord God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm doing what the Bible has told me to do. Lord God, I'm serving you. How could this happen? He could have done that. And we could have even been like, I understand. And well, we could try to help him. But he said, hey, whatever the Lord wants, that's what he's willing to do. Boy, today I'm helping Daniel spread the news that even when the doctors at the Mayo Clinic, the best of the best, couldn't do it, now they come together at all, because Daniel is now cancer free. His stomach is as flat as it ever was. His wife, his family is still intact. The only thing that could say, that we could say, is God. Sometimes we're put in situations because we ask for it. You say, how in the world, Lord God, use me, use me, use me. Sometime God sees something so great in us, he decides to use us in a way that we would never ever volunteer. Lord God, why in the world? Lord God, there's no way. I remember we had a feisty lady in our church, in a good way. Boy, if you did something wrong, even if you were a teenager or whatever, and she heard about it, come here. A little bit older, come here. You know, out there old enough to be like, look, I'm old. Grandma really don't care what you think, you know, to that stage. Come here. Come here. Well, I remember she got word she was going to pass away. Boy, she had been fighting sickness, fighting illness. Boy, I remember that particular night. Boy, we had a Bible study going on and what's going to be in heaven. And boy, pastor was going through some things, and you hear the little voice in the back, a person that was weak now, a person who said, hey, if the last thing I'm going to do is going to go to church. She's like, even if it kills me, she's like, there's no better place than to die in the house of God. Boy, she came there that night. She's all frail in the back, and preacher would start preaching and start saying, hey, this is going to be there. And she's like, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Boy, I began to look around, and boy, there were tears flowing from people. Boy, she was just screaming, woo, that's my Savior. One day, coming soon, I'm going to see him. Woo! Boy, she was just cheering. Everybody knew that it was just a breath away. Boy, after the service, boy, she was walking out like everybody was, shaking the pastor's hand, and she came to him, and she was like, Pastor, she's like, I don't claim to be God or know why he gave this to me. She's like, but all these years I've been praying for God to do something with my family. She's like, I've been praying for all my family members to get together or whatever to be there. She's like, I've got it. She's like, God is doing this to bring everybody together. He's doing it to answer my prayers. So she said, so I want you to preach the devil out of them. She's like, I want them to know that hell is real and they're going to burn forever if they don't accept this. Boy, she was telling them for like 5 minutes. Everybody was like, oh, she was like, you do it. You promise me right now. You promise me right now that you're going to do it. He was like, I promise you that I will do some of that. Boy, came time for the funeral. Came time for the pastor to get behind the pulpit. He was like, all you know, this young lady that are here. He's like, she made her pastor promise that she would tell you, or that if you don't accept this gift, she's not only going to be upset, but she hopes that you burn as well as everybody else. And he was like, and you know exactly how she would have said it. And everybody started laughing because they knew. He was like, well, the Bible talks about how they're shouting in heaven. He's like, this lady has prayed this whole time for God to do something in your heart. He was like, from a dying confession of a saved person, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Boy, at the end, he had everybody bow their head and he prayed with everybody. When he had them pray the prayer, boy, in a situation like that, he's like, everybody, raise your hand if you accepted Christ as your Lord and the Savior. And it was like, we couldn't even count all the stuff. Boy, afterwards, he said amen, and he was like, I don't know if you could hear it. He's like, but I'm guaranteeing you there's somebody that is shouting louder than the angels there. He's like, and you know it. He's like, and by the way, now I can tell you the other part of it. He said, she also told me to tell you guys, if you don't accept the Lord God as your Savior, she's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. What she did, took a rock, took a hard situation in her life. She made it sweet. Even though it cost her her life. I guess you could say she ran a race. She was faithful till the end. Some of you, may not be going through a rough time right now, but it's life. It's coming. By the way, thank God for a church. Thank God for a church family. You don't have to go at it by yourself. The Bible calls us a mighty army. We can do it together. One, two, maybe even five people. We can all do it. It's like a fight. Me and you're in a fight, in an engagement. I don't know, you said Reese's are horrible. And that's fighting words in my book. But all of a sudden I go to hit you, whack, open hands, but everything's together. They're all working as one. But all of a sudden, they combine to be a mighty army. Boy, we're all children of God, all linked by the church. But I love it when time of needs, how we all come together. Whether it's through prayer, whether it's through fellowship, whether it's just through handshaking time, when you're like, brother, I'm praying for you. Hey, you need anything? Let me know. I'm serious. You need anything, let me know. And we know it. How many times have you went to church feeling bad? Not COVID bad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just feeling bad, feeling sick. Ugh. Show up to church anyways, and you leave. Boy, sure I'm glad I did that. Something about God's people coming together. This church has been through some things, like every church has in America. But I sure am glad that this church saw the honey and kept going. This church could have did like any other church. Oh, I've had it. Pastor could have been like, these people don't get it. I'm out. By the way, that's what a lot of pastors do. A lot of pastors, like, what, 2 years, and then they leave the church? Basically, show up until the honeymoon's over. Peace. Boy, they're out. Whew. Going to another church that has the exact same problems as the one. You say, well, why in the world would that happen? Because people are there. People are people. You ever wonder how someone can get older and then get meaner? To the point where even their countenance changes. I mean, you just see them and you're like, ooh. You don't want to ask that person, how was your day? You're just like, God bless you. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a church and I've been like, Pastor, man, that is a sweet, sweet person. And he's like, brother, you don't realize everything that's happening in that person's life. Seems like the devil is literally knocking on her door. But she's keep being faithful. Keep serving God, even though sometimes she's smiling through the tears. She's still showing up. Even to the point where people are like, man, this pastor said the people would come to her and be like, well, Pastor, if I only had the life like she did. And he's like, are you kidding me? You want me to tell you her problems? Then you really would be like, oh, I didn't know. Well, I remember when I was in the male clinic with Daniel. And boy, we were there and the sun's rising and long night. Hospital beds are never comfortable. Not that I slept in the bed, but, you know, the bed right beside it. You gotta emphasize that in today's times. Yeah. Somebody will take that clip and make it, yeah. So, well, I remember being there, and I remember we walked out to the lobby to get that same nectar that we were talking about, coffee. And while I'm there, and all of a sudden the sun starts rising up, and I'm like, boy, look at that. Boy, that's amazing. Little did I know, there was a mom who had the child that was going through something similar to what Daniel was going through. And she's like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. She's like, that's for my son. She's like, that's for my son. He loves sunrises. Boy, she ran back into the room. Boy, she grabbed the bed as much as she could. Other nurses are coming in there and like, man, what are you doing? He loves sunrises. He loves sunrises. Boy, they all begin to turn his bed or whatever there. Boy, a big smile came upon his face. He's like, oh, man, look at that. She could have been bitter. She could have just been like, now the sun rises that he's in the hospital. But since she just took a little bit of honey that God gave her to start the day off, boy, she was able to share it with somebody else. Share it with her son, and boy, he was able to smile, which, by the way, helped all those nurses. Because I wasn't in the room, but you could hear, oh, Oh, look at him, he's smiling. Boy, they're coming out, boy, wiping away the tears. Tears of joy. Why? Because God gave them a little bit of honey. Even though that rock was pretty big, can I tell you this? I know sometime that rock in all of our lives looked like the biggest mountain that we could imagine. Remember what I told you this morning? How big our God was? He was big enough to make that rock like that. So if he's big enough to make that rock like that, I wonder how much honey he's able to pack inside that rock like that. That's like, how much peanut butter can you stick inside a Reese's? Or whatever. Oh, and now they actually have peanut butter Reese's lovers. Amazing. Some of us have to keep fighting. Some of us have to keep going. The Bible talks about running our race. Some of us, no offense, it isn't that other person that we're mad at and bitter at. It's us that is hindering ourselves. You say, but you don't know what they did. Yes, I don't know. But the Bible gives us a recommendation. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm sorry. It's not a recommendation. It's a commandment. The Bible says to forgive. Not for them. For us. You want to know a person to forgive? Forgive them. You want to know a second other person to forgive? You. Oneself. We're our biggest critics. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I told her that. I mean, she really needed to hear it, but I can't believe I said it in those words. Oh, my soul. I mean, boy, we beat ourselves up to the point where it changes our whole demeanor. Some of us need to keep fighting. Some of us need to keep being faithful. Perfect example is Pastor. If you fall, it makes it a little bit easier for these ones to fall. And if these ones fall, who's going to be there for these ones? It's all circle of life. Boy, if we're not careful and we don't get these feelings under control, we're literally going to be lost. Oh, not from hell. We have that. But how many of us have ever had that feeling where you've had so much on you, where it didn't matter what you do, you're just kind of walking in a fog? By the way, before you get there, go see your pastor. That's what he's there for. There's something about a man of God being anointed for that position. What does that mean? Being set apart by God. Well, that's just man worship. That's the devil speaking, by the way. People say that. I've learned that. Well, that's just man worship. God put the pastor in that position there for a reason. Just like when he came down from the mount and he put all the judges and everything in place. Use them. Use each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes some of you don't want to go to the pastor because you know what he's going to tell you. Well, let's look in the Bible, see what the Bible says. Why do we have to do that? Because the Bible governs us. Without the Bible, you have no foundation. Now you see how the non-denominational churches and stuff, they don't have the Bible. They can do whatever. Hey, let's get a band. Let's get rock and roll. Hey, let's play it up. Man, let's make it awesome. Let's add Jesus every now and then. But you notice one person that none of these songs, anything ever says in those churches, you never see the Holy Spirit. So they're like, come experience what we're having. What are you experiencing? Because the Holy Spirit ain't there. Another spirit could be there. tell you this and we're done. God says that he wants to give you the finest of the wheat. How many of you ever had an opportunity to eat at Ruth Chris Steakhouse? Can I tell you? It's amazing. Imagine a steak being brought out to you, sizzling like a fajitas and chilies. I mean, it's not some flimsy little steak. We're talking about a man's steak. And oh, the ladies, they like the petite filet. Boy, that thing comes out and it's like that. You're just like, woo, woo. You're like, man, God's in this thing. Woo. You're like, man, this must be some of that bullock that Elijah had when he whipped it up. Man, it's now come back. Boy, you see that thing and you're like, ooh. Boy, all the butter's just popping on it. Boy, they tell you to hold up your napkin. Hey, from the first bite to the last bite, it's the same temperature. Boy, you're just eating it and smacking and you don't even care. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I don't want a doggy bag, but honey, I literally can't eat anymore. Oh, it's so good. Ruth Chris only takes the top 3% of steaks. They literally, I went there when I was talking about the college, and boy, God worked it out to where we had Ruth Chris Steakhouse, where we were in there, and boy, two or three occasions, boy, we rented out the whole place. And boy, God was definitely in that thing. Boy, I remember when we were there, and I was going there, and boy, they were showing the steaks, and well, they had some people who looked like they were nerds, like scientists. I mean, they had them glasses, they were like, you know, out there, and they had a thing. It looked like their eyes were like that. And they were looking at everything, you were like, oh man, they're pretty serious. And she was like, look, this is the fridge. She's like, you can't walk in it, but look, every steak has its own little shelf. It has its own blue light on it to make sure that no bacteria or anything is there. They make sure that the marble and everything is just right. If they do such a good job at that, I wonder when God says that he gives us the finest of the wheat, what he meant. Well, we're talking about the best of the best. We're talking about more than the desires of thy heart. Got to be faithful. We got to keep going. Some of you, you're dealing with situations you never thought that you would have to deal with. Keep going. Keep fighting. Is that a camp? Doing like what every good Christian Baptist member wants to see. The Bible closed like, oh, thank you. He's almost done. Remember, I was at this camp in Georgia. Boy, we were there, and there was a pastor's wife. She came up to me. She said, Brother Jamie, can I talk to you? I was like, yes. And yes, I am going to use that little southern accent or whatever because I got to do it right. She's like, Brother Jamie, can I talk to you? I'm like, yes, ma'am. She's like, Brother Jamie, don't worry. She's like, my husband, or whatever. He gave me permission to come here and talk to you. Boy, she began to pour her heart out to me. She said, Brother Jamie, is it my fault? She said, Brother Jamie, my son blames us for everything. He's like, you're the one who kept us in church this whole time. He's like, you're the ones that made us live this life of standards and live this life of all these convictions and stuff. He's like, Mom, I have all these problems because of what you did to us. She said, Brother Jamie, she's like, is it my fault? I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I was like, don't you let him guilt trip you. I was like, let me ask you this. I was like, did you raise that boy the best that you could? She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I did. She's like, every day me and his dad would pray for him, pray for the other ones. She was like, we literally, she's like, well, we wasn't perfect. She's like, but we raised him big drops. Tears coming down. I'm like, yes, I understand. I was like, but there comes a point in time in everybody's life where they have to make a decision. Either they're going to walk that same path, that old path that they talk about, or are they going to choose another path? I was like, but let it be known of that little one that's now out there. Let it be known that every time he thinks of mama, he thinks of mama still serving God in the house of God, still doing it the right way, still praising Jesus, still giving him credit where credit's due. I was like, that's what you're going to need to do. I was like, there's some times where you're not going to feel well, but you still need to show up to church to let that little one know that mama still loves God more, even more than herself, and she's still going to show up to church even when she doesn't feel good. I was like, I don't know why, but you still need to be found faithful. When we walked away, she felt a little bit more encouraged, but she was still discouraged because her son still had a place where she never wanted her son to be. Year goes by. Camp season again. Boy, I'm there, and I arrive a few hours early, unpacking stuff. I'm walking across the field, and someone's like, hey, Brother Jackson, did you see so-and-so? She's looking for you. I was like, no, I haven't seen her. They're like, hey, Brother Jackson, so-and-so found you yet? I'm like, no, I haven't seen her. Then all of a sudden I hear, Brother Jackson! Brother Jackson! Brother Jackson! Oh, Brother Jackson! And I'm like, what in the world? She's all the way across the field. She's got on a skirt, and ladies, you know that you can only run so fast, whatever, in a skirt. All of a sudden I see her hike up her skirt, and she is getting it across. I'm like, whoa, slow down. What's going on? She's like, Brother Jamie, you probably don't remember. She's like, you probably don't remember our conversation that we had. I was like, what's your son? She's like, yeah. She's like, Brother Jackson, she said, for whatever reason, she said, that talk really helped me. She's like, there was one time, she's like, I was feeling bad. She's like, I didn't want to go anywhere. She's like, I had talked to my son that morning, and I had told him, Mom's not feeling too well, you know, please pray for me. And he said that he would. And she said, but that night I felt, she's like, I heard your voice saying, hey, even when you don't feel good, still need to go, still need to be faithful. That little one still needs to know, still needs to see that. She said, Brother Jamie, that night, she said, I went, and she was like, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel like being there. She's like, but I wanted to be found faithful. So she said, I was sitting there. And she said, all of a sudden, my husband began to preach. And she said, while that time when he was preaching, she said, my son said that he wanted to do something good for Mom. And he actually went to the store and got some soup or whatever and made, got all the ingredients for soup and made a homemade soup or whatever for Mom. And he brought it over to the house. And he's like, man, Mom must really be sick because all the lights are off and everything. He said, he walked in the house and he's, Mom! Mom, searching for Mom, couldn't find Mom, and then all of a sudden, it hit him. It's Wednesday. Mom's at church. He said, so he was like, all right, well, I want to deliver this to Mom, so I'm going to church. He said he walked out. His wife was like, hey, I thought you said that you were making that for your mom. He's like, I am. He's like, I thought you said that your mom would be here. He's like, she's not, but I know where she is. He's like, well, where is she? She's like, is that the church? Let's go. Boy, they both came, and she said 15 minutes into the sermon, she's like, Brother Jackson, I couldn't believe what my husband was saying. She's like, 15 minutes into the sermon, he said, honey, I feel that an invitation needs to be given. So go ahead and go to the piano. She said, I looked up at him like, do you know what time it is? She's like, Brother Jamie, he's a little long-winded. She's like, now 15 minutes into a sermon, he told me to go. She's like, okay. She said, so I went there, and she's like, I sat behind the piano, and I began to play. And she's like, all of a sudden, I could hear, excuse me. She's like, I thought that voice sounded a little familiar. She's like, all of a sudden, she said, I looked up, and she's like, all those prayers came back to me. All those times where I was begging and fasting and pleading with God to be with my son and protect him and bring him back one more time into the house of God. She's like, all of a sudden, I saw my son, and he was making his way, all right, ever through everybody. And she said, Brother Jamie, she's like, it was raining inside. She's like, it was raining inside the building. She's like, Brother Jamie, I was playing the piano, and she's like, the tears were just flowing. She's like, I said, dear Lord, she said, you got to take this piano because I can't see anything right now. And she said, she's praying, and she's playing. And she said, all of a sudden, her husband walks up to her, and she said, honey, I need you over here. She said, "Oh, Lord," she's like, "my makeup's running all over the place, my mascara." She's like, "I look like something evil." She said, all of a sudden, she said, "I came over there," and she said, "before I could make it," she's like, "he stopped me. And he said, 'Mom, I'm sorry.'" He said, "but Mom, I thank you in front of everybody for not changing, for not bowing down." He's like, "even when I ridiculed you and I tried to make you feel bad because I wanted you to be in my misery," he said, "but thank you." And he thanked the dad for being there. He said, "because every time I saw you, I saw God. And I knew where I should be." Not sure what you're going through. Keep being faithful. Boy, I would love for talking later on, talking to Pastor First, and he's like, "well, brother, now we got to go into another building project. We just paid this thing off, and now we're busting at the seams." Boy, wouldn't that be a good problem? We just keep being faithful. Well, if we did what we were supposed to this morning, we're surrendered. Now we're just locking in, determined. Through the good times, through the bad times, we're going to serve him. We're not going to let this thing, bitterness, destroy us. Because it will take away your shout. It will take away your joy. It will take away your Christianity. To the point where you will find yourself anywhere except for here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord God, what a great church that we have here. Great church. Lord God, I see our more seasoned elderly people. I see younger adults. Lord God, I even see teenagers and even little ones running around. Lord God, that means a healthy church. Lord God, the only way for the church to stay healthy, Lord God, is for us to stay healthy. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask that you just please just help us. If there's anything that we need to clear up, if there's any person we need to forgive, I'm not asking for them to go to them to forgive, Lord God. No. Lord God, asking them to get it right in their hearts. Forgive that person in their hearts. Forgive themselves. Lord God, and maybe even ask for forgiveness in themselves for not having the faith to keep trusting you, even though that situation is unlike anything they've ever experienced. They just keep walking by faith, keep putting one foot in front of the other, and keep trusting you the whole way. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm not going to even ask for a show of hands or anything tonight. Lord God, I'm just going to ask for Pastor to make his way. If you need to do business with God, I encourage you to do it. There's nothing like an old-fashioned altar. Well, Brother Jackson, everybody's going to look at me. Everybody's going to know. You know what? Tough. Hey, I don't care. I don't want anything to stand between me and my God. And you know what that is? Pride. Oh, God, I don't care. I don't care if a hair lips every dog in this county. Lord God, I'm going. I'm going to be faithful. Oh, if there's anybody here that God has touched your heart, be faithful. If there's anybody here that need to forgive, be faithful. If there's anybody here that just, maybe you just need to write some things down to when this time comes, you can keep standing and keep being what you are now. Boy, let's make those commitments that need to be made. Let's be found faithful in God's eyes. Pastor.
If the Lord spoke to you, just go ahead and slip out of your seat and talk to him about it tonight. Let's not be bitter. Let's be better. Let's be sweet. Let's be able to receive that wheat and that honey that the Bible talks about. wonderful to be a Christian and have the opportunity to find honey in a rock? I mean, I don't even know if that's scientific, but the Bible says it can happen. There's honey in the rock, and there's no reason for us to be bitter. We have a God who can make us better and can serve the finest of wheat. Only God can turn a mess into a message. Only God can make something that's terrible wonderful. And that, I hope you understand that only the Christian has that privilege. The unsaved people don't have that. And in this world right now, you know, the veterans that feel totally abandoned and stabbed in the back, the Christian veterans know that God's still in charge and that God's still on the throne. And we just need to point people to Him. And I don't think it happens as easily as it does when we are being persecuted ourselves or hurt. Or when someone looks at us and says, how in the world do you get by? Well, because of salvation, because of my God. That's what we have to testify. That's what we have to be living. We have to show people, yeah, it's a hard rock, but there's honey in it. And you might not see it or understand it, but it's there. And God is good to us. And God is good to His people. Even if there's cancer, and even if it's terminal, or whatever it might be, heaven's our home. That's where we're going. And God is good. There's no reason for us to be defeated. No reason for us to live defeated and depressed. It doesn't have to be that way. So let's go home and read those verses again and realize that God's saying to His people, you can have the finest of the wheat, and you can find the honey in the rock. You don't have to let whatever it is that's happened defeat you. The world doesn't have that privilege, but you and I do. We're going to close in prayer, and I'll ask if Kevin will put a plate out on the back table. If you'd like to give something to our preacher, you're welcome to do that. And we'll make sure to send him on his way with a love offering tonight. Let's pray, and let's all stand together. We'll pray, and we'll be dismissed. The young people are still going to be in here, and Brother Jackson will be speaking to them. But we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for opportunity to hear a lot of illustrations and reminders of how that whatever is awful in the eyes of the world is not awful, because all things work together for good. And we are more than conquerors, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Even if we're led like sheep to the slaughter, we're still the winners. And thank You, God, that there's a testimony of people saying that it's a death sentence to be a Christian. It's still worth the choice. It's still worth it to be a Christian. Help us to take heed to that and realize what honey they must have found, and what they know that maybe we have forgotten. Lord, help us to realize that sometimes the best blessing we ever got was the thing we never thought we wanted. And help us to be thankful for what You've given to us and what You're teaching us. And help us to always look for the sweetness in the trial that You've given us. Help us to be able to live that in front of someone who needs to see it. And that You'll change our ways and change our minds about some things. And may we be a blessing and a sweet spirit to the people around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.